International TV Distribution Hall of Fame, Susan Bender. Welcoming New Challenges Wasn't a Challenge by Dom Serafini. Susan Lee Bender does things differently. First, she entered show business from the show portion as a nightclub singer, to be exact. Later, she moved into the industry from the business side, and in the process, she ended up selling programs to Latin American TV stations without speaking Spanish. In addition, when she started in the industry, the TV business was a male-dominated field with women relegated to secretarial jobs. In this respect, Bender is a pioneer, similar to other female international TV sales executives such as Claude S. Perrier and Gilberte de Chirin in France, Juliana Nicodemi in Italy, Max Hartmann in Germany, and Alice Donenfeld in the U.S. Finally, TV distributors usually start working in indie companies and then move to studios. Bender instead went from a studio position and became an independent distributor. But before that challenge, which saw her moving from a studio to an indie and culminated in a 45-year career that is still going strong, Bender went through a dramatic, if short, interlude as a sales executive at Harmony Gold, which was in the midst of international intrigue and court action. As Vice President, Latin American Television Sales, Bender worked at Paramount International Television for 20 years, starting in 1986. Before that, she was Executive Director, International Sales at Metro Media Produces, a company she joined in 1972. At Paramount, she worked under three division presidents, Bruce Gordon, Gary Morenzi, and Armando Nunez Jr. But, she said, even though I was paid up until 2006, I actually left in 2005. Bender added that during that time, she never did output deals. I simply didn't believe in them. At Metro Media, she worked with Paul Rich and for 2 years under Herb Lazarus. Rich recalled, Susan pretty much ran the Latin American sales operation by herself. At Meep TV in 1980, she approached me and said, Paul, I've got this client from Argentina who has owed us a lot of money for a while and wants to see you immediately. As the client approached me, he was carrying a large manila envelope and blurted out, This is for you to pay the balance of what I owe you. I opened it and inside was $100,000 in bonds. I loved it when our clients paid their bills, especially Latin Americans. But at the sight of all that money, I panicked, but the ever-reliable Susan remained cool, took the envelope, walked across the street to a bank, and deposited it in a Metro Media account we had established there. During an interview at NatPe Miami last January, Bender admitted that she didn't know how the bonds worked. The bank took care of cashing them, she said. While on the subject, Bender reported that throughout her TV sales career, she never had collection problems in Latin America. Late payment, yes, but we always got paid, she added. In effect, the bonds were the only possible form of payment at that time, when TV stations purchased their government bonds with local currency and used them to pay foreign suppliers. For a discount on the face value, banks bought the bonds, which were resold or cashed when interest matured. Bender is a product of America's heartland, born in Youngstown, Ohio. She was a theater arts major at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. As such, she was the typical, no-nonsense, practical person with good, down-to-earth common sense. Indeed, from the time Bender started on stage in 1969 as a singer in Santa Monica, California, to when she entered the TV business at Metro Media Producers, only 3 years had passed. And from there she went to become Vice President, Latin America Television Sales at Paramount TV International 14 years later. Here's how Bender recalled the start of her career, and especially meeting an American star like Bob Hope. When I turned 21 years old, Los Angeles was the place to start a singing career, so I auditioned for a very famous nightclub in Santa Monica, California called The Horn. It was famous in the 60s and 70s for showcasing aspiring talent, including Steve Martin, Andy Griffith, and Phyllis Diller, to name a few. I was accepted, the youngest to showcase there, and one night the manager of the New Christy Minstrels was in the audience. After my performance, he asked me to come and audition for the group, which I joined. Founded in 1961, The Minstrels is still an American large ensemble folk music group, also famous for having recorded the 1940s song, This Land Is Your Land. Bender continued, in 1970, the new Christie Minstrels went on a United Service Organizations, USO, tour to entertain our troops in Korea and Japan. And there I met Bob Hope. The singer, comedian, and movie star had been involved with USO tours since World War II, and the U.S. government honored him with a Military Order of the Purple Heart and named a vessel, USNS Bob Hope. I eventually became a very close friend of Bob Hope's niece, Avis Hope, Bender added. And over the years, Bob Hope and his wife, Dolores, became Uncle Bob and Aunt Dolores when I was in their company with Avis. Not long after, Bender left the Minstrels to embark on her own nightclub act, but she recalled, I had a period of 6 weeks with no club dates and needed to earn some money. I went to an employment agency in Hollywood, California, to see if I could find something short-term. There was a position open at Metro Media Producers Corp. in music royalties. I was told very confidentially that the supervisor was extremely difficult to work for, and I would be considered lucky if I could last the 6 weeks. To make a long story short, we got on famously, and my 6 weeks turned into 13 years. She continued, during my days at Metro Media Producers Corp., I learned the television business from the bottom up, beginning with music royalties, then to accounting, then to worldwide contract administration, and finally to executive director of international sales. My special emphasis was in Latin America. Strange as it may seem, the majority of my clients understood English, and I understood a lot of Spanish. Even though the speaking part was difficult from both sides, there was always a person in the traveling group of executives who spoke English. As time went on, the children of many of our buyers were educated in the United States, and many of them took over the leadership of their TV channels, especially in Central America. I was no different, really, than handling Japan and not speaking Japanese. There was always a way to communicate. In 1977, Bender was sent to work in domestic and international administration under Klaus Lehmann at Metro Media's New York City office, where she controlled the activities of 15 foreign representatives for 130 territories. 2 years later, she returned to her L.A. office to work under Herb Lazarus and Alan Silverbach. Then in 1982, she was sent to Metro Media's Boston office, reporting to Paul Rich, and 3 years later, asked to return to Los Angeles. By then, Bender's office moved from the old Playboy building on Sunset Boulevard to KTTV, a Metro Media TV station. After Rupert Murdoch's Fox acquired Metro Media, Bender was looking forward to a vacation before job hunting. One morning at 6 a.m., she received a call from Paramount International Television's president, Bruce Gordon, saying that veteran LATAM executive Ramon Perez was retiring, and he offered her a sales position to replace him. Perplexed, I answered that I had to think it over, she recalled, and then continued, once off the phone, I started to berate myself for such stupidity. How could I have answered that way was beside me. So I immediately called Bruce back and accepted the offer, but I asked if I could take a 1 week vacation first. He said yes, but he wanted me on the lot for that May 1986 screenings. I remained at Paramount for the next 20 years. The May screenings in Hollywood were then 22-year-old rituals that in 1983, Video Age renamed LA Screenings, and with which Bender was very familiar. She recalled that at Metro Media, starting in 1980, she invited clients to screen at KTTV, followed by a cocktail party on the station's rooftop terrace. In 1984, Metro Media began having the stars of their shows, like Fantasy Island and Charlie's Angels, meet with buyers during the screenings. For studios' international sales executives, maintaining a poker face while screening a bad show for clients has always been a challenge, hence the Hollywood expression, if they want me to also watch the show, they have to pay me extra. Coming from an artistic background, this challenge was more prominent for Bender, who tried to keep my bias out of judgments. I tried to be fair even though some shows were better than others for my clients. The screenings also involved plenty of dinners with clients, recalled Marcel Vinet Sr., who met Bender when she was at Paramount and he was a buyer for Mexico's Televisa. Susan had a very loud laugh, so when she started laughing at a restaurant, the whole room would start looking at us. In addition to screening on the Paramount lot, Bender also traveled extensively throughout the region, even covering small territories, but never in Colombia, because the studio was concerned for my safety, she explained. The LATAM region presented another challenge for Bender, a woman traveling alone in an environment that Vinet described as very tough for women who had to deal with very aggressive Latin males. But, confessed Bender, I never had any problem because I demanded and received the utmost respect. As a result, I became a part of their family and remain so to this day. Never married, Bender was engaged to be married 3 times, but ultimately I decided that my career was more important. Still, I never returned any of the engagement rings. In effect, I'm an unclaimed treasure, she joked. After her contract at Paramount expired in 2006, Bender became a consultant with the title of president at Frank Agrama's Harmony Gold, responsible for worldwide sales. At that time, Agrama was enmeshed in Italy's Mediaset trial for false accounting, among other charges. He was acquitted in 2014 due to an expired statute of limitations. But, said Bender, the topic was never discussed at the office. After that one-year experience, in 2007, Bender returned to New York City and formed her own distribution company, Bender Media Services, and hired Sally Treble, a former TV sales executive at Siegel Communications, headquartered in Lima, Peru. I always liked New York and I was glad to go back. Plus, I had a vacation house in Maine, where I still spend my summers and falls, she said. Premising that television distribution is a relationship type of business, Bender acknowledged some challenges she faces now as an independent TV content distributor to Latin America. Stations are producing and co-producing more, so they're buying less. My job is now to find out what they need to fill their reduced available slots and alert my producers. Fortunately, she added, I don't have to bid for product. Indeed, bidding for quality product is becoming a problem for LATAM indie distributors because it increases costs that cannot be transferred to buyers. This gringa definitely has Latin blood, she concluded, the only gringa to handle Latin America for a major studio that always spoke English. I understand Spanish, but am too shy to speak it. And as the old song says, the best is yet to come. This has been International TV Distribution Hall of Fame, Susan Bender, by Dom Serafini.